We got other stuff to talk about, but obviously what everybody seems to be buzzing about is the David Petraeus thing, and I know you have thoughts on that that you'd like to share.
Well, it's unfortunate that this news has come out, our Americans' attention has been distracted by this event. I feel sorry for Petraeus' family. And I think that we need to get back and focusing on the things that are very important to the American people today. Number one is we've got this fiscal cliff issue that we've got to deal with, and that has two parts to it. What we're going to do with taxes, what we're going to do with the sequester. The second thing is that we need to be focusing on the terrorist attacks in Benghazi. And so I hate to see the mainstream media spending all its time on these other two events. I mean, they are important, but still, there are other issues I think that are more important to the American people.
Certainly, it's becoming more troublesome. And then General Allen involved now. It would seem that this may continue to go on. And again, it makes the headlines day in, day out.
It does. And again, I'd like to try to keep our constituents looking into things that are important to their future at this point. And these two, while they're bad pieces of news, they're just not the most important things to talk about today, in my view.
You know, you mentioned Paul Ryan, and yesterday in an interview on ABC News, he again talking about that fiscal cliff that we have coming up, said even though the president won the election, he really does not have a mandate. You still have Republican control in the House.
That's exactly right. If there was a mandate from the American people, I think you go back to the House of Representatives, because that's the representation in our federal government that's closest to the people. And we still, the GOP still has control of the House, and so the mandate that I think we got was the American people still want somebody to be responsible with the purse strings of the federal government.
Now, one thing that was kind of interesting yesterday, some people in the Democrat Party decided that Mitt Romney had actually come up with the idea to put a cap on itemized deductions. They seem to have, I guess you'd call, renewed interest in some sort of a hard cap that could be as much as $35,000 on deductions. Does that end up being a starting point?
Well, we already have caps on itemized deductions today that were put into the tax code going back to 1986, and they've been modified over the years. What we have proposed on the Republican side, and we've actually voted on this last year, is an outline for tax reform. And in that outline for tax reform, you do everything. You touch everything. You look at all the deductions, you look at all the credits, and you look at the tax rates. And hopefully what you wind up with when you're done is a very broad tax base with lower rates, so that everybody pays an appropriate share of their income. And that there's no economic, there's no manipulation of the economy through the tax code. So rather than trying to talk about sort of band-aids today using limitations on deductions, I'd rather talk about wholesale tax reform.
And Bill Floor is joining us from D.C. this morning. And, I mean, the reality of it, neither party really has a plan that would balance the budget anytime soon. And, I mean, can we do those two things separately? Can we do the tax reform and then you look at budgeting, balancing the budget somewhere down the road again?
Well, actually, on this one, Scott, we did balance the budget in the Path to Prosperity budgets. And there were two parts. On the revenue side, we had pro-growth tax reform, which was basically what I was telling you about before.
Right.
Lower rates, broader base, simplified tax structure. On the other hand, we've got to address the big drivers of our debt, and that includes Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, somewhat discretionary on the discretionary spending side. So we need to have welfare reform. We touched all those things in the budget. For one thing, back to taxes for a minute, we assumed extra revenues to the federal government, but we did it because the economy was bigger, and when you have more economic activity, then you have more tax revenues coming in. So it's sort of a win-win type approach. It doesn't balance the budget in 5 years or even 10 years, because those are difficult lifts today, given that you've got 10,000 baby boomers a day retiring and moving on to Medicare and Social Security. So you had to find a way to balance what promises have been made to them and also make sure that it's there for our children and grandchildren.
You know, one of the things that, and again, we could cover people up with numbers, but some of the things that are going to happen at the end of the year, the child tax credit's going to drop from $1,000 to $500. Estate taxes go up again to 55%. The exemption goes from $5 million down to $1 million. We in Texas, because we don't have a state income tax, have been able to write off those sales taxes. All this stuff goes away, right?
That's correct. It's very pervasive in terms of its impact on the economy. And that's the reason we're trying to to address this. You know, if you look at what we passed right before we broke for the election recess back in September, we passed a reconciliation to fix the sequester. We passed an extension of current tax rates, not only the AMT rates, but also the income tax rates and estate tax rates for another year in order to give us a chance to enact tax reform. And then we also passed a bill that laid out the timing and the outline of what that tax reform would look like.
So, and again, to remind people what sequester is, that's about a 9.5% cut on most of the defense accounts and about an 8% cut on some of the domestic spending accounts. Gosh, in the short haul, what do you really see is going to be any kind of movement in the next week or so?
Well, Scott, it's too early to tell at this point in time. The speaker came out last week right after the election, and he was able to lay out what he thought was a pro-growth way to deal with the issues. The president came out the very next day and I think ill-advisedly said that he had a mandate to raise taxes on people making more than $250,000 a year. So we've got a little bit of an impasse now. There are some back-channel conversations going on, but I don't know how much definition is surrounding those conversations today, so it's a little hard for me to comment. I just know that we've got to do something. I know what I would like to do, and that's to have pro-growth tax reform and to have dramatic changes in the way this federal government spends its money.
Tell us how you feel today about the idea, though, of the president's thoughts that a family that makes $250,000 or more should have their taxes raised incrementally.
Well, there's a study that's come out recently that says that the president's tax plan, which actually passed by the Senate last September, will cost the middle class 700,000 jobs. And what I'd like the president to do is get up and talk about which 700,000 middle-class jobs he'd like to sacrifice in a weak economy. I think Americans don't want that. And I think he has mischaracterized the American people what the election said. The election didn't say we want to go out and have and raise taxes on those folks making more than $250,000. And that's not what the election is about. But he won't drop politics and start dealing with the nation's issues. He's almost like trying to put a stick in the eye of the people that didn't vote for him. And I just feel like he's headed the wrong direction on this. I believe we've got to look at growing revenues through things that grow the economy, not by trying to mess with tax rates that hurt the economy.
I hate to be negative about it, but yeah, I mean, I don't remember who it was, somebody I saw on Sunday morning. I think he's going to go pedal to the metal. I really do. I don't think he's going to be conciliatory, and that's bothersome.
It bothers me, too. It does seem like it's purely politics at this point because his tax policy will hurt the American middle class. And so if he really wanted to help them, why isn't he talking about things to grow the economy and not things to hurt the economy? And it's just all class warfare and politics, and I was disappointed. I was hoping that both sides would wake up on Wednesday morning and say, okay, we've got the status quo, so we've got to find a way to come together. And, I mean, there's a way for everybody to win here by having lower tax rates and at the same time wiping out a lot of the deductions so that you have a broader base and putting more people to work so that you have more people getting bigger paychecks and able to pay more in taxes. Everybody wins that way.
Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Great to be with you and Kat this morning, and I'd ask our listeners to pray for our country and for our military men and women.